Thank God, though. Amen, brother. Thank the Lord. Thank you, Miss Janice. Ladies, that was some good singing. Am I ringing? Boy, I'm telling you, y'all pray for me. My ears are hearing all kind of stuff. I thought I heard a voice singing that saying it's bringing me a bunch of money this afternoon. I guess I didn't hear that either. Amen. Take your Bibles tonight and turn with me to Acts chapter number 16. And we're going to revisit a familiar story. I was thinking about this today as I was studying a little bit. And sometimes I almost feel guilty, but if you listen to me preach very long, you'll hear me preach from the same passage of Scripture over and over and over again. I don't know a whole lot of Bible, but what I do know, I know. Amen? And it just amazes me how God can just keep giving you something from the same well. Amen? And it's never the same water twice, amen? He can just feed you and feed you and feed you and feed you. And you take one trip through this book, and boy, you'll get something. You'll go through this book another time, you'll get something totally different. It's a never-ending source, amen? But I want to look at something tonight and try to be a help to you and a blessing. And maybe the Lord will touch your heart and give you some encouragement. I've been really burdened about our people and the storms that they're going through and the difficulties with the jobs. And boy, Brother Freddie and I, we've been looking and keeping our ears open, trying to help people find work and first one thing and another. And sometimes I wonder, I watch you and I think, man, now this guy's been out of work over a month. This one's been out of work 2 months. This one's been out of work 3 or 4 months. And I'm thinking, Lord, how are you sustaining them? You know what I'm saying? I just wonder how they're just keeping their heads up. And I'm afraid some of you are feeling like you're about right here. Amen? And just seem like maybe there's no hope or no end in sight. Sunday morning, I tried my best to preach. I felt horrible, and I apologize if the message didn't come out right, but I believe the thought was right. We talked about wanting and desiring the blessings of God, and we read that verse from Proverbs, how God will blessings will abound on the faithful man. Amen. And I've been thinking about that more and more all week. And I thought, Lord, I do want your blessings. And you know, that's where we are. We want God to bless us. We want and expect God to do what God does, but or do his part, but we oftentimes don't want to do our part. We just want to sit back and let God do it all. I'm afraid it doesn't work that way. Amen. I remember the story, and I've told it time and time again, but I still like it. I remember the story about the man in Mississippi that when the big flood came, they sent rescue boats out and was evacuating the area, and there was this one old-timer was sitting up on his porch, and they came by in a little John boat and said, come on, we're going to take you to higher ground. He said, that's all right. He said, God's going to take care of me. And they came by, they said, all right, suit yourself. They came by the next day, and the old man was sitting on the porch on top of a 6-foot stepladder. And the old man was sitting there, and they came by and they said, come on now, we're going to take you to higher ground. You got to get to safety. You're going to drown. He said, that's all right. God's going to take care of me. Next day they come by. There he sat up on his roof. And they came by in a little John boat and said, come on, fella, we're going to take you to safety. He said, I told y'all, God's going to take care of me. Next day they came by in a helicopter. He's standing on his tippy toes on the roof of that house with his nose barely hanging out of the water. And a helicopter with a loudspeaker said, come on, we're going to take you to higher ground. He said, God's going to take care of me. And anyway, they flew off and the old idiot drowned. And he stood before God and he said, God, I trusted you with all my heart, with all my soul, and all my might. I told them people how you was going to take care of me and you let me drown. God said, you idiot, I sent you 3 John boats and a helicopter. Amen. Somebody said, give a man a fish, feed him for a day. Teach a man to fish, feed him for a lifetime. Amen. Sometimes we want God just to dump it out and dump it out and dump it out, but we don't want to give nothing in return. Amen. There was an old saying when I was little, and I guess it's still around, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. Amen. I want us to look in Acts chapter number 16 where the going gets tough for a couple of God's men. In Acts chapter number 16 and verse number 22, the Bible said, and the multitude rose up together against them, talking about Paul and Silas, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison. Now, let's just stop right there. I've never been stripped of my clothes for my faith. Amen. Our guys go out and hold up the scripture sign and preach on the corner at McDonald's on Sunday afternoon, and they've had a few people flip them off and they've had a few people cuss them out, but ain't nobody never jerked their clothes off of them. Amen. And sure enough, ain't nobody ever pulled out a bullwhip and beat them. Amen. Or threw them into prison. Amen. Sometimes I know our times are tough to us and our problems are as real to us as Paul and Silas's problems were real to them. But we have no idea what some of God's people have been through. No idea. I think about John Huss and all those martyrs. You read Fox's Book of Martyrs, and I try not to read it. It makes me feel like a low-life dog, and I want to give God my salvation back and just go on and burn in hell because that's what I deserve. Amen. Man, those guys were something else, buddy. What verse was in? I better read. Verse 23, the Bible said, when they laid many stripes on them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison, and made their feet fast in the stocks. Now, just stop right there if you will. In modern day times, these guys were in the hole. Yeah. Or solitary confinement. Yeah. Like a death row prisoner. They weren't you guys who go in the prison. They weren't among the general population. They took them down in the dungeon. They didn't just put them in a cell. They put them in a cell and then put their feet and their arms in stocks. Y'all seen the old stocks, right? Looked like a yoke of oxen they put down over their head. That's exactly what it was. They put them in the stocks. I wonder what it was these guys did that scared them so bad. You ever thought about that? They weren't murderers. They hadn't raped anybody. They hadn't robbed anybody. They weren't malicious men. All they did was preach the gospel. And it scared this crowd so bad, they said, put them in the innermost part of the prison, put them inside the cell, and then put them in the stocks. They must have been worried about something. Amen. Christians, true Christians have always made society in the world a little bit nervous. The Bible said in verse 25, and at, say the next word with me. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Boy, that's a message right there. Just the prisoners heard them. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises. If you and I were put in that position, I doubt many of us would be praying. If there are a few of us faithful enough that we might pray, they've just been stripped naked. They've just been beaten. And now they're locked up in the innermost part of the prison and they're in stocks and bonds. I doubt seriously we'd be praising God. But yet in the midst of all this adversity, we find Paul and Silas praising the Lord. At midnight, the Bible said they prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard. This may be old news to you, but I can't get over that. I've not been beaten, I've not been stripped, I've not been imprisoned in stocks and bonds. I've had a head cold and an inner ear infection, and my praise ain't been what it ought to be. Come on, y'all, talk to me. You say, preacher, we're going through a hard time. What would you call what they were doing? Having a picnic down at Tanner Park? Talk about difficulty, brother. Their gig was up. Amen. But yet the Bible said they sang, they prayed and sang praises to God. I don't think it was lip service either. I honestly don't. I think it was heartfelt. Somewhere there was such a reality of what God had done in their lives, even though the stripes were on their back, blood still oozing from the open lashes and lacerations in their back. They thought about how good God had been. You imagine Paul, he was a murderer and he was a hater of what God was doing with his people. He was against Christ and the cross of Christ. And can you imagine as he hung there in the stocks with his back burning like it's on fire, thinking, I don't even deserve this. This is too good for me. This is too good for me. So he began to sing and pray. And Silas joined in. Wow. In the midnight hour, they found it within themselves to give God glory. You say, preacher, I'm having a hard time. I don't have a job. You don't deserve one. Neither do I. We okay? I'm not good enough to crawl up and cuddle up with one of the bums under I-20 in Atlanta tonight. That's too good for me. So what are you saying, preacher? I know what a sinner I am. And I know how wicked I was. And I know the pit God picked me up out of. And I know the filth that covered my life and covered my heart. I know the vile things that came out of my mouth and the wicked imaginations that went through my mind and the things that my hands has done. Anybody on the face of this planet ought to praise God, I ought to. Amen. Prisoners heard him. Verse 26, and suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of sleep, seeing the prison doors open, drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we're all here. That amazes me too. Ain't a prison in this country you could open all the doors and nobody leave. Something supernatural is going on in this place. And then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. I want to talk about the midnight hour just for a few minutes tonight. Hope to be a blessing to you. Sometimes our great ideas and our wonderful plans and our beautiful dreams seem to take another direction. Sometimes things just don't turn out like we thought they would. In other words, a year and a half ago, you may have went to the bank and showed your financial statements and how much money you had in the bank, and you may have applied for a loan and bought a brand new automobile. Now you ain't got no job. You did it in good faith. Oh yeah, I make plenty enough. I can pay for this. We all been there, hadn't we? You didn't plan not to be able to make the payment. But now you're in a position where you can't meet your obligation. Plans don't always go like we think they're going to go. There's only one who knows what tomorrow holds, and his name's Jesus. Amen. Ain't nobody can tell our future. Ain't nobody can tell our fortune. We're going to have to put it all in the hands of a loving God and trust Him fully and wholly with our lives. Amen. Amen. Truth is, sometimes life can just take you down a dirt road. Seem like you find yourself in a dead end with no way out. I want to tell you tonight, we serve a God who specializes in dead ends. We serve a God who specializes in no way outs. You ever pulled down a road looking for some place and you saw a sign that said no outlet? In other words, if you go down this road, there's no other way out. It's going to stop down here, and that's far as you can go. That's kind of way the children of Israel felt at the Red Sea. The Red Sea before them, Pharaoh's army behind them. No way out. All through the Bible we find that. People in the midnight hour. The gig is up. There's no hope. There's no way out. And we've seen God move through the Scriptures time and time and time. I thought about Mary and Martha. Mary and Martha met Jesus coming down the road and accused Him. They said, if you would have been here, our brother would not have died. You know what they were doing? They were blaming Him. They said, it's your fault. We sent for you. And you tarried. You didn't come. Now Lazarus is dead. Been dead 4 days and he's stinking already. Jesus said, girls, don't you know I am the resurrection? In other words, he said, I stayed back so he would die. Take me where you laid him. Midnight hour. Brother's gone, body's stinking, but Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. And the dead got up. Amen. More than once. You ever notice through the New Testament, everywhere Jesus went, dead people got up? Do you know it's still that way today? He can walk through a congregation of sinners dead and their trespasses and sin. And when Jesus passes by, everywhere death is, when He lays His hand upon it, He gives life. Amen. You can be dead as a Christian. I'm running a rabbit, but he probably got some pretty good haunches on him. Amen. You can be dead as a Christian. All you need is Jesus to pass by you tonight. You can be about ready to throw in the towel tonight. What you need is to see the prison walls begin to shake. What you need to see is the stocks and the bonds just fall off of you. Hey man, like they ain't nothing. What you need to see is God moving your life in a great and a mighty way. You still believe God can do that? I got some bad news this week. Bad news. Just for a minute, I was tempted to get very upset. Still don't know the answer. Still don't know the outcome. Still don't know the solution to the problem. Why cry about it? I'm just going to shout her out. Amen. I'm just going to bless the Lord. I'm going to give Him honor and glory. Hey, if I can't shout over my finances, I can shout over Brother Warren's daddy. Hey, if I can't shout over my health, I can shout over Sister Ashley's. Glory to God, I've got something to praise Him for tonight. Paul and Silas had planned this missionary journey. Would you agree? I imagine like our preacher boys, they're excited about it. You guys that go down to the prison in Alabama, you know that anticipation in your heart on the trip down? You know what I'm talking about, Brother Freddie? I've only got to go twice, but both times, maybe just something bubbling down on the inside of me. You know what? It's kind of like a pressure cooker, that thing. It's excitement. You're ready to preach, but then there's a nerve factor in there. It's almost an anxiety thing, and you're like, oh, boy. And man, you're just rocking, and you sleep all the way home. But going, man, it's an excitement. And I just see old Paul and Silas, man, they're fixing to take the gospel into a brand new place. And boy, I imagine old Paul said, hey, Silas, look here. Here's my outline. What do you think about this? You think this will work? And old Silas said, whoo, that dog will hunt, son. And Silas said, man, I get a chance. This is what I'm going to preach right here. What do you think? He said, man, you mind if I borrow that sometime? I mean, boy, they're comparing notes. They're excited, man. I mean, they're praising God for what all He's done with their life. But their plans did not go like they had hoped it would. Amen. It turned ugly real quick. Would you agree? They was excited about an open door to preach. They was looking forward to spreading the gospel and seeing multitudes saved. Oh, but when they got there, they was met with great opposition. Verse number 22, you can look at it. And the multitude rose up together against them. How many is a multitude? You run that through the Bible. I think that's a crowd that there ain't no sense in trying to count. Brother Freddy, is there a number for multitude? I couldn't find one this afternoon. I was looking around. I thought, how many is a multitude? Everywhere I run through it, you can't figure it out. Jesus fed them 5,000 beside the women and children. Multitude. He said, how many was that? Ain't got no idea. It's a heap of them. Here's Paul and Silas. It ain't 7 or 8 coming after them. It's a multitude. I would say, I'm just guessing, I'd say there's at least 4,000 or 5,000 rose up against them. Oh, if it had been 200, the Bible said 200. It said a multitude. I'd say they faced great opposition, wouldn't you? Now you just mark her down. You make up your mind to make a move and make a change and do something for God in your life. You make up your mind you're going to praise God no matter what. Old smutty face is going to hit you tomorrow and say, well, let's see. Let me just make a statement. If you face no opposition in your life, you're probably doing nothing for God. Can I say that one more time? If you ain't fighting, let me put it another way. Let me just put this in Paulding County terms. If you ain't fighting hell by the half acre, you probably ain't got a whole lot going on spiritually. Can I get a witness? It seemed like every time I get excited, my little friend fell off the pulpit. I don't know whose he is, but he's been keeping me company up here. He's got big old muscles built like me. Every time I make up my mind and get excited, boy, I'm going to get a little bit more serious about my preaching. I'm going to get a little bit more serious about my prayer time. I'm going to get a little bit more serious about my Bible. I'm going to dig a little deeper. I'm going to work a little harder. I'm going to strive a little bit more. I'm going to go the extra mile. I'm going to give a little bit more. It doesn't matter. Every time I get met with a right hook, son. I preached that message Sunday morning. And I probably preached that message to me more than I did to you. Maybe why it didn't make no sense to you. It made perfect sense to me. I was serious about those things I preached about. Being faithful to the Scriptures. Oh yeah. Being faithful to prayer and supplication. I was dead serious about that. On Monday I got kicked in the teeth. After he got through kicking me in the teeth, he kicked me in the gut. My wife called me Tuesday morning. She was worried about me. She said, yesterday morning, she said, what are you doing? I said, I was just reading a little bit. But it wasn't the Bassmasters magazine, it was this. They was met with great opposition. Opposition comes our way for one reason and one reason only, to stop us. If the defense on a professional football team did not care the outcome of the game, they'd just back out of the way. Help yourself. But the opposition is always there to stop you from going forward. Oh, we want to run wide open. We want to run like the wind. We want to let her rip, tater chip. We want to get her done, man. But every time we make up our mind to, there's going to be a defensive side out there. There's going to be some opposition that is going to do its best to hold us back. And that's where our determination is going to shine. That's where our stick-to-itness is going to shine. And we better make up our mind. I don't care what the devil does, but they use old-time used to say, the good Lord willing and the creek don't rise. We're going on for God. Amen. It was met by great opposition. This wasn't what they planned. I don't think prison was in their date book. I don't think a beating was part of their itinerary. I don't think Paul woke up one morning and said, Silas, let's go over and get the fire beat out of us. Sound like a good idea, preacher. Let's go. But that's what they met. When you make up your mind to live for God, that may be what you... You say, well, the devil's not fighting me. Wonder why. You ever thought about it? Devil ain't giving me a hard time. He must not be much a threat. Be honest with you, I'm a peace-loving man. I don't like to fight. I hate it. I hate conflict. I hate controversy. I won't put up with it in the church. I won't. Y'all ever start screaming and hollering at one another in here, I'm gone. I didn't say I was resigning. I'm just going home. Y'all fight it out. I ain't going to be in it. You get one faction, rise up another faction here, I ain't getting in the middle of that mess. Y'all just kill each other. We all right? I just ain't about it. Why? I got bigger fish to fry, man. I got a real devil who wants me to quit. I got a real devil who don't want me to preach to you tonight. I got a real devil on my case that can't stand it when these altars get full. Oh, he hates it. My plans in the ministry was to take this church and just do great things. And we've done some great things. But it's been like Nehemiah. We've stood on the wall and we've laid brick by brick, but Sanballat and Tobiah has been there the whole step of the way, trying to get us to stop the work and come down there where they are and fight with them. We're going to face opposition. Would you agree? They were met with persecution. This was not their plan. Nevertheless, they praised God. This is easy to preach, but it's hard to do. Say it again. This is easy to preach. Anybody can stand up here and preach this outline. But to live, it's a different story. At midnight, the darkest hour, stripes on their back, innermost part of the prison, stocks and bonds, chained together. I mean, brother, they begin to sing and pray out loud. The whole prison heard them, Brother Charles. It wasn't No, man, they was letting her rip. I mean, they was letting her rip. I wish I could sing tonight. I'd sing to you. Once like a bird in prison I dwell. Old Tony Hudson let her rip, can't he, son? Yeah. Brother, they begin to sing. He said, "Preacher, I don't feel like singing." I don't imagine they did either. I don't imagine they did either. But somewhere in the depths of that prison, I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within. I was sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry and from the waters lifted me. And now safe, safe am I. I don't know what they sang, but I believe they gave God some glory. And every prisoner in the place heard it. Hallelujah. In the midnight hour. You say, "I'm waiting God on God to move." Maybe God's waiting on you to sing. Oh, the prison did get shook loose. But it wasn't until after they prayed and sang. I imagine God just felt obligated. I imagine he just felt obligated. The Bible said he inhabits our praise. There they are in the darkest hour of their lives, bleeding, blood running down their back, locked up in the darkest part of the jail. I love Jesus, he's my Savior. And the Lord said, "Would you listen to that? Would you listen to that? Look at that blood running down that boy's back. Look at all them stripes they done put on him. I can't believe my ears. I can't believe what I'm hearing. I got people living in houses, got their cabinets full of food, driving the nicest chariot in town, and they ain't saying nothing. They ain't doing nothing but mumbling and grumbling. There they are down there in the jail, and just listen to them sing." Woo! We got to do something about that. Maybe God is just waiting on the stillness and the darkness of our midnight hour to be interrupted by our sounds of prayers and singing praises unto Him. We come to church and we have good services, but what about when you're alone? It's easy to get caught up in the spirit of things while we're here. Ashley and them get up there and sing, "God has been so good, and I have been blessed." And when they sing all them songs, you can't help but shout a little bit. Leslie got up there and sang tonight, "He touched me, oh, He touched me. And oh, what a joy filled my soul." Hey man, if we ain't got nothing to shout about now, we can go back to the day when He touched us and saved our soul, and we can meet together and we can shout together. But when you leave here, some of you are going to leave just like He is. Just as dead and as tired and as depressed and as despondent as you was when you walked in the door. I'll be honest with you. I spent some time last night thanking God and praising Him. I'd make myself do it. I literally had to make myself do it.
Yes, I know what you see.
I laid there on the floor and I said, "Now you sucker, you know how good God's been to you.
Yes, sir.
Do you know how good God's been to you? You look at your children, you look at your wife, you look at that grandbaby, look at the house you're living in, look at the clothes in that closet and the shoes you got on your feet. Man, you better lift up your head, pick yourself up by your bootstrap, strengthen your own hand in God, and give God some glory." See, our human nature, all we want to do is focus on what's wrong. And I got thinking about that last night. And I got hit with a dilemma and a little problem this week. And that's all I can think about. How am I going to do this? What am I going to do? Oh, no. And that one little thing that was wrong seemed to overshadow Brother Warren.
Yeah.
everything that was right. And I got to looking at that, and I thought, man, there's more right than there's ever been wrong. This ain't nothing but a thing. This ain't nothing. This ain't nothing. This ain't nothing. God's provided bigger than this before. God's answered prayers way bigger than this before. What am I whining about? What am I pouting about? I might as well just thank God and give God the glory. And as I was praying, the Lord said, you're going to shout about this problem too. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Amen. You know, every miracle in the Bible started with a problem. Not one miracle will you show me in that book that didn't start out of trouble. Hungry. Blind. Halt. Withered. Possessed of the devil. Dead. Every problem. What are you saying? Have you got a problem or not? Raise your hand. Come on, rest of y'all, man. Y'all ought to be shouting, stripping the gear if you didn't raise your hand. If you raised your hand tonight, you're a candidate for a miracle. God may just be fixing to do something in your life. You better buckle your seatbelt and make up your mind. Get you a good visual picture of one of them songs out of that hymn book and you start singing to Him. Start tonight. Yeah. Make yourself do it. Because I promise you, you've got something to sing to Him for.
Yes, sir. Yes. Amen. Amen.
Yeah. At midnight, when it got tough, they began to sing. God sent the earthquake and shook the prison loose. How good would it feel if your old prison just got shook loose tonight? Whatever it is, it's got you bound. Whatever it is, it's got you worried. I come in tonight and old Rusty said he had another job interview. Hallelujah. Same place.
Amen.
The man that owns the company, his wife, works for the company, told Rusty before he left, I told my husband if he didn't hire you, I was quitting. That's putting the pressure on, boy. Amen.
Amen.
We need answers like that. Brother Warren, do you feel like something just got shook off of you when you got that phone call about your dad? No cancer? Huh? What'd you say? We're done braced ourselves. We're done prepared for the worst. We're done making funeral arrangements and thinking about how bad I don't want to bury my dad, and I don't know how I'm going to handle it, and I don't know how I'm going to do that. And then God steps in and said, don't worry. It ain't time for a funeral. It ain't time for flowers. It ain't time for a eulogy. It's time for a miracle. Hallelujah. Somebody will just clap your hands tonight and give God a little glory. If y'all don't need this, I do. Some lessons we can learn from this story. I don't know about you, but I learn everything the hard way. I don't really even learn it the hard way. I learn it the hardest way. Bullheaded, stupid may be another word, I don't know. The greatest dreams and the greatest plans, sometimes they fail. Sometimes they just don't work out. You know what that is? That's life. A weeping wife sat across from my desk and said, when we were dating, I never dreamed it would be this. When he was buying me flowers and opening the door, had our whole lives all planned out, and we'd go on dates and talk about what we were going to do and what kind of house we're going to have, where we're going to live, how many kids we want, and blah, blah, blah. I never dreamed I'd go through this. You know what? It happens. Talking to a fellow the other day, he said, I'd really love to get involved in your church. He said, but I just don't know if God can use somebody who's been divorced. Stand up, Mama. Ain't nobody in this room. Nobody in this room led more people to Christ than that lady right there. If you took all of them I've led and all of them Brother Freddie's led and maybe half of what Brother Charles has led, probably wouldn't match it. So how do you know that? I watched it. Divorced. Single mama. Working two jobs. Dragging two little snot-nosed kids everywhere she went. Y'all got quiet on me. He said, well, I just don't believe God used you, Pharisee. God used a jackass to preach to Balaam. We okay? That's what the Bible called him. Don't look at me, goofy. Amen. He can use somebody whose marriage has failed. We okay now? I'm smiling while I'm saying it. I get tired of these people sitting up on their high pinnacles looking down their nose at everybody else. Sometimes the best laid plans just don't work out. Sometimes, lady, no matter how bad you want your husband to do right, he just don't. You don't control people. And you don't change them. Amen. Some folks just married out of the will of God. That's all there is to it. It was a train wreck from the beginning. They had all kind of hopes and dreams, but it just didn't work out. I've watched people get all disappointed because their kid didn't become what they thought their kid ought to become. You God now? I think I know what I want for my son. I think I know what I want for my daughters. Brother Todd sat down with me right there in that ladies' restroom. It used to be my office. It was before there were six toilets in there. There used to be a desk in there. Brother Todd came in one Sunday night after church, white as a ghost. I mean, I thought he was fixing to pass out. His lips were blue. He said, Brother Eddie, can I talk to you? I thought, I need to get Brother Tommy and the defibrillator in here. He sat down across from my desk and stuttered and muttered around. He said, I just wanted to know if it's okay if I could court Ashley. I said, what? He said, I just wonder if it's okay. I said, well, it depends. He said, depends on what? I said, can you abide by my rules? He said, I agree with him wholeheartedly. I said, number two, what's your plans? He said, well, I don't know right now. I said, well, before you court my daughter, we got to know what your plans are. He said, what do you mean, preacher? I said, you plan on leaving here? I said, I know you've been called to preach. I said, but I just want to know, is your desire to go out and pastor somewhere, go to the mission field? He said, no, sir. I said, you can call her. One of the hardest things in the world to do is surrender your will for the life of your children. Amen. To God's will for the life of your children. Sometimes it just don't go the way we plan. Sometimes you do everything you know to do that's right and they still do stupid stuff. Brother Charles and Sister Janice, they'll tell you, and probably Lisbon, Dee, they'll remember, had a good family in our church, and I wouldn't call their names for nothing. Good family. Had a 15-year-old boy. Sweetest kid. Still calls me from time to time. Sweet kid. He did something stupid at school. And I couldn't believe when they sat down in my office and told me what he had done. All that was going through my mind was how many times I'd done it. Same thing. I finally told him. I said, lighten up. know what they told me? And Brother Charles, remember this. We just don't know if we can come back to church. We're so embarrassed. You know, I did not realize that then, but now I know what that was. It was pride. If you came to me tonight and said, you ain't going to believe what Levi did, try me. That boy come from my loins. When my kids do something stupid, I'm going to whoop them just like you do. And I'm going to punish them. But I ain't going to give up on God.
That's right.
Amen?
That's right, preacher.
But you know some people do? I've seen them get slapped out of church because the daughter got pregnant. Well, it got quiet there, didn't it?
Yeah,
I can tell you how to stop that. Don't let her date.
Amen.
You think your family's above it, preacher? Not at all. Not at all. Break my heart? Yeah. But I ain't going to quit God. I'll tell you something else I do. Happen to one of my kids, you know what I'm doing? I'm just going to love them. You know what else I'm going to do? I'm going to ask you to do the same thing. I'm talking about the midnight hour. That's a midnight hour when your daughter wakes you up in the middle of the night and says, Daddy, I'm pregnant. I'm just kind of hitting on where we live. What would you do if your boy come home? Said, Dad, I'm gay. After I beat his eyes out, I'd do my best to keep serving God. He'd have to know how I felt. Amen. Just some scenarios. I hope it ain't happened to none of y'all. It ain't happened to me. Sometimes things just don't turn out the way they plan. I've watched some things that interfere with God's plan for people's lives. Sin will do that. We're talking about our kids going sideways. A lot of times it's our fault because we exposed them what they fell into. You say, oh, now. Oh, yeah, right in your living room. From what our kids have seen in our own living rooms, ain't no wonder they ain't all knocked up or gay. True. Guilty. So are you. You wouldn't dare entertain the thoughts of your child doing it, but you let people do it in your living room. Sin will wreck God's plans for your life. I want things to turn out the way we want things to turn out. But we're going to have to cut that sin factor way back. I believe as Paul and Silas sang, they were holy and righteous before God. I get sick of talking to prisoners in jail, and I don't talk to them as much as y'all do, and they'll compare themselves to Paul and Silas. I'm like, you idiot, you robbed a store. I got a stepbrother. I love him. He's in jail. I remember the first time he went to jail, he robbed a store, scooters, right there on 61. Went in, somebody gave him a gun, stuck it in a woman's face. They had him on video. Called me on the phone, said, I didn't do it. I said, well, who's that on the movie? Got in jail, supposedly got right with God, talking to me one night on the phone. He said, well, I guess I'm just like old Paul. I said, I guess you ain't. Sin erects some plans. Amen. You want them prison walls shook loose, you might have to shake something off. Amen. You might have to get rid of your favorite show. You might have to unhook your internet. Sin will wreck God's best plans for your life. Finances. I've seen that tear up more marriages than I have adultery. Money. Come on, man. Think about what you had when you got started. Think about it. Now, you come from the era where me and Brother Warren come from. We didn't start out in a brand new house and a brand new subdivision like every young couple thinks they got them. We started out with literally nothing. Nothing. What's for supper, honey? Ain't got no pan to cook it in. Everything we had, we borrowed and begged, and ugliest furniture, nothing in our house matched. Raised out in the country in the middle of nowhere, it was an exciting thing for me to see a train move to downtown Dallas. First night off my honeymoon, laying in the bed, 1 o'clock in the morning. Wah! I'm standing in the middle of the bed and my drawers are hollering. Ah! Angie's hollering, "What's the matter?" I said, "I don't know." All I could hear was that wah, and the house was going. Had no idea, man. Some of y'all just think about where you started. Where you at wouldn't seem so bad. Amen. Don't let finances tear up your relationship, especially your relationship with the Lord. Amen. You can love Him broke just as much as you can wealthy. Many people ruin their lives in the midnight hour. When the greatest trial comes their way and they're about to see the greatest miracle in their life, they bail and jump ship. Don't quit now. Don't quit now. Don't make no major decisions right now. You folks that ain't got no work, Brother Robbie, Brother Rusty, don't make no major decisions right now. Don't do something stupid. You better be still. Amen. Better just be still. Wait on the Lord. John, don't you do nothing dumb. You better just be still and wait on God. He knows where that job's at. He knows where that next money's coming from. Just hang on. Just hang on. Don't make no big major decisions at midnight. Isn't it funny? Nobody ever. Never mind, I'm going to move on. People ruin their lives at midnight, but yet God's still on the throne at midnight. Anybody can praise God at noonday when the sun's shining and the birds are singing. Anybody can. A backslid Christian can praise the Lord when things are good, when the big checks are coming in. Anybody can do that. Amen? Paul and Silas were singing praises to God in jail at midnight, not at a noonday revival meeting or a camp meeting. It was at midnight. God's good. He's good in the sunshine, but He's just as good at midnight. I'll be honest with you, sometimes I think He's better at midnight. Amen. Sister Janice sings that song, and if she can play it, if she can't, it's all right. But, we won't really have an invitation tonight. But she sings that song, "In my darkest valley, I found the rose." Yes, amen. "I found Him blooming." Oh, boy.
Hallelujah.
"In my darkest valley, where heartaches abundantly reign, I think sometimes he's just sweeter in the midnight hour. Amen. No parent wants a selfish child who only loves you when you give them stuff. We ought to praise God the same at midnight as we do when things are great. Lastly, and I'm done, the sun will shine again. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. I know I'm just like you. I'm looking for hope. I'm looking for help. I listened about 5 minutes what the man had to say on TV last night. Didn't get no hope there. We gonna do what? That's about how I felt. Some of the stupidest stuff politically I've ever heard in my life. It's crazy. Getting crazier. We better get our eyes off him. Get our eyes on him. I don't care if Barack Obama's got a magic wand. We better not be trusting in him. God had a bailout plan long before Congress thunk one up. Amen. And he's got the funds to back his up. The sun will rise again. Are you in a midnight hour in your life? Why don't you just try this? And I would not preach this to you if I had not done it myself this very week. Like Granny used to say, well, just praise God anyhow. Just praise God anyhow. When your wife looks at you and says, honey, what are we gonna do? Like mine did. Look back at her and go, let's go out to eat. God is my witness, that's my response. She said, what? I said, I want some Mexican. How about I want some hot? Amen. Salsa and chip. Why not? Ain't nothing else you can do. We can have pity parties and join the rest of the crowd. Or we can just thank God and go on.
Yes, sir.
Amen. 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 Let's stand to our feet tonight. I ain't been beat. I hadn't been thrown in jail. My life hadn't been threatened. I sure have seen some dark days. Seen some lately. Seen some in the past. Do you know what? I can look back at the past and see God's just proved himself faithful over and over and over and over again. Yeah. Hey, some of you in this room seen a whole lot worse times than what we're looking at right now. Whole lot worse times. Sometimes when you get to feeling real bad, why don't you pull one of these old timers aside? Get hold of Granny Faye, Sister Peggy. Say, tell me just how bad we've got it. Let them tell you. Oh, that's been a whole lot worse than this. If you'll study through this book, you'll find that it's been a whole lot worse for them saints of old than it ever was any Christian who ever lived in America. We're still blessed. We're still blessed. I'm still praying every day. God's going to give you that job. Every single day I go down that list. Thank God there's a couple of names I got to scratch off of it because you got some work. There's still 22 names on that list. Seems like I scratch one off and somebody else loses a job. I'm still praying. God can take care of his even in the midst of a, what are they calling this? recession, depression, whatever it is, broke, God can still take care of His people. He always has. He can do it. Just like we said Sunday, He does it for those that are faithful. He does it for those who are going to pray and sing praises unto Him, not if, but regardless. Whether God blesses, whether God don't, He's done more than we've ever deserved already.
Amen.
So we're just going to continue to praise Him. Put it to the test. Put it to the test. You say, has God answered your prayer yet? Nope. Ain't been 2 days, but I ain't going to quit praising Him. I'm just going to keep on. And when He does answer my prayer, there ain't going to be much change in my tone. I'm just going to keep dancing around my living room at night by myself and ain't nobody looking. Sing praises unto God. Say, thank You, Lord, I knew You'd do it. I knew You was able. I never doubted You a second. Amen. I love You, church. I sure enjoy those good phone calls. Thank you, Brother Warren. Sure was a blessing. I sure enjoy the good news when I come in. Thank you, Brother Rusty. You get that job, I want to hear about it. Anybody else gets a job, don't just tell Brother Freddie and expect him to tell me. He forgets. Call me. Let me know. You don't hesitate to call me when something's horrible. Call me and let me know when God comes through about these things I'm praying for, so I can just rejoice with you. Amen. Brother Ryan, you and Jason get these prayer sheets. And I know I rambled a little bit tonight, but God sure is good. We can't praise Him for nothing else. We could praise Him we ain't never been put in prison. Some of us ought to have been. Amen. Come get you a prayer sheet. Get down here and pray together a little bit tonight. Don't forget tomorrow night, viewing at the Benson's funeral home for Sister Jennifer's mother. Sister Joyce, would you tell me her name? Mary Holbrook. Mary Holbrook. Amen. Just get us a prayer sheet and get in this altar. Pray till you're done. When you're done, you're dismissed, but remember there's other people around you probably still praying, okay? I love you, church. Yes, ma'am.